You're listening to Detroit Today from the dining room of the Grand Hotel on Mackinac Island during the 2023 Mackinac Policy Conference, our annual chance to talk away from home about all the successes and the failures and the challenges that we have here in Michigan. Do you know what Automation Alley is? I feel like not enough people do, but it's something that's been around for quite some time, and it is a real powerhouse of leveraging the rich automotive history that we have here in Southeast Michigan and trying to make it into power for the future. How do we rethink the things that we do? How do we rethink the way community comes together in our state? Tom Kelly is the executive director and CEO of Automation Alley, and he joins us now to talk about their work and how it's all going. Tom, welcome to Detroit Today.
Thanks for having me, Steve.
Was my description good there?
Yeah, I could go on for about 5 minutes straight. So we'll leave it with that because we'll get to some good questions, I'm sure.
Yeah. So as I said, Automation Alley has been around for a long time. I can remember first hearing about it when Brooks Patterson was the Oakland County executive and was explaining to me this whole concept. Talk about what the assignment and the challenges were when you started, and I guess what they look like now in 2023.
Yeah, so when we started, of course, I wasn't there because that was back in 1999. Yeah. I came in 2016 as the executive director and CEO. In 1999, the communities, the eight counties around Southeast Michigan, got together and formed Automation Alley as a branding campaign to change from Rust Belt to high tech. Right, if you remember 1999.
See, you already said it better than I did.
And it was all about, you know, people viewed us negatively, pejoratively, when you talked about Michigan. It was last one out of Michigan, turn out the lights. You remember all those pejorative terms that came from that. And so it was really a mechanism to say to the world, look, you know, we do a lot of high-tech stuff here, and to start that process. When I came in 2016, we changed again. We metamorphosized into the next thing, which is we became Michigan's Industry 4.0 Knowledge Center. And Industry 4.0 is this fourth industrial revolution. It's about artificial intelligence, which we're hearing a ton about today. Yeah. We've been talking about it since 2016. It's about 3D printing. It's about collaborative robotics. All of these things are coming to democratize manufacturing, which if you're a state that is based on high capital manufacturing, and the world is going to low capital distributed manufacturing, we got to run like hell to figure out what that looks like and get ahead of it.
Yeah. So tell me in 2023 what that does look like.
Well, in 2023, one of the things is we're very, very focused on 3D printing. Because, Stephen, if there's one technology I want listeners to pay attention to in manufacturing, it's not AI. AI is going to be very, very important, but it's not quite ready for prime time yet in manufacturing. 3D printing takes what used to be subtractive manufacturing and done with assembly lines and with very intense amounts of capital with great big plants and puts it in the palm of your hand as a little 3D printer that anybody in the world can do, including all of our small suppliers in Michigan. So we're trying to get ahead of this by doing a project with Oakland County called Project Diamond. We got a phase two for $15 million. We did 300 printers between Oakland and Macomb County that we distributed over the last 3 years. In the next 3 years, we're going to distribute another 300 to 400. Hmm. And what that gives us is a scale where 400 to 500 little companies can all behave as great big suppliers. If you take that to its conclusion, think about what that means for our society and for our communities, where the little guy can actually use other little guys to behave really big. And then it becomes an equation of how do I innovate? If I have 400 or 500 innovators, I'm going to do a lot better than if I have one.
Yeah. So when you say 3D printer, I think of the thing I see on Amazon that I can buy for $150, $200 that will let me print models or things like that. And I know that's the low end of it. But that is the beginning, I think, you know, our kids are doing these kinds of things. That's the beginning of the entrance into this new age of manufacturing.
Right, and think how accessible it is. You just said I can buy a 3D printer on Amazon and my kids can innovate. They can create their own designs. What if they created a design that we went, holy cow, I can actually make money at this? How do they then get access to 600 or 700 printers to hit scale? Mm. That's the community we're building. We want to take the community of small manufacturers and actually stitch them into the academic community, both at the college level and the high school level, and give kids in those institutions a chance to get into manufacturing in a way that is seamless, that is easy, that is low barrier. You don't need all this special skill. You just need a brain and a creative mind. Yeah. And kids have that in spades.
Are we investing as a state enough in the growth of this kind of opportunity? Are we leaning hard enough into it? I mean, lots of people tell me we're off base there, but then I listen to you and I'm like, well, maybe we're closer to the mark than we think.
Well, it's like saying, did we invest enough in teaching kids how to use TikTok? It's not necessary.
Right.
It's like, we have to teach kids how to be more creative, how to take more risks, how to leverage what exists today, not into jobs of the past that were rote, that were needed specific skills for specific times. We're moving into an area where kids are going to come into the workforce and you're going to do multiple jobs all the time. You're going to be, it's like the Uberization of everything. And kids will want that. They actually want that creative freedom where they can jump in and out of things. That's why Uber is so attractive to people, is that they go, wow, I feel like my own boss. I go out and work when I want. Why can't manufacturing be like Uber? Hmm. And that's when you stitch those together, all of a sudden you say, wow, this really can open up great opportunities, and we need to be ahead of it. Now, the beauty is, if you look around the U.S., we're not ahead, but we're not behind. In other words, this transformation
is
difficult. It's good, and this is where Oakland County giving us that seed capital, if you will, that allows us to pilot into the community. Can we do this? And we know we're going to hit a lot of hurdles along the way, but we have to do it because it's the right thing to do for the community.
So when I also hear the name Automation Alley, I do think of a geographic reference to that, right? I think of Oakland County, and you were talking about that there were eight counties that were involved. But talk about the way in which that geography and the things that are going on inside that geography really influence the work that you're up to right now.
Well, and we've actually expanded yet again, just to confuse your audience even more. We cover the entire state of Michigan. So when I came in, we had about 700 members, and about 400 were manufacturers, and about 250 of those were in Oakland County. Today, we have 2,000 members, 1,600 are manufacturers, and they're spread all throughout the state. And the reason for that is, We are a library of knowledge. We look over the hill and around the bend and say, this is what you need to pay attention to. If you need to know about AI, come to us. We'll teach you as it relates to manufacturing, 3D printing, any of these collaborative robotics. All of these technologies, we become the library for them to learn. And we make the barrier to entry very low through a generous partnership with the MEDC. To become an essential member in manufacturing for Automation Alley is free. Let me say that again, it's free. So
free.
The bar is on the floor. You just have to step over it. The reason why we make it free is there's such resistance to change that we don't want to charge for you to help you make that journey with us to change. We want to say, get in here and start learning and you'll change on your own.
When you think of things like logistics hubs, right? And I bring that up because for a long time in Wayne County in particular, we were talking about the potential for Metro Airport or Willow Run or some combination of the two to really capitalize on the idea that on-time delivery and packaging and manufacturing and all of these things could work here. Better than they work other places. And I remember Automation Alley being part of that discussion. We never developed much of what that vision was. And I remember that Robert Fricano, who was the Wayne County executive, was a real champion of it for a long time. Yeah. People kind of snickered, I thought, at the idea. Oh, no, that'll never work. Yeah. But sometimes I think, boy, we missed out. We didn't jump on something that could be huge for us right now.
Yeah.
Am I right about that?
Yes, but let me take an example. I think it'll be illustrative. Project Diamond has, when we study this out, it'll have 700-800 manufacturers. We're working today on a pilot with a drone company to say, how do you pick up those parts and aggregate them into a common center where you can then quality test them, package them, and send them? Because if we had a contract with General Motors or Stellantis or Ford, they don't want to receive one package at a time. Would be ridiculous, even though they'd want to support this network. So the idea is, how do you aggregate 600 parts at a time and get them to the factory floor in the right amount of speed? And that's where using this network coupled with drones. So when you talk about logistics is about the last mile in a lot of ways, more than anything else. Mm-hmm. Big warehouses are nice, but that's merely an aggregation mechanism for the big guy to figure out how to get stuff out there. We're trying to turn it on its head and say, how do you aggregate all the little guys so they can behave as a big? We're actually looking at it from a completely different way, which I don't think a lot of people are doing. But if you want to do economic development, in my heart, you have to start with the smalls. They're the lifeblood of the community. The bigs come and go based on taxes, right? The smalls are the community.
They will be there all the time. Sure. Right. I ask everyone this on the island, just to almost give exposition to what happens here.
Yeah.
What is your agenda up here this year? What are the things that for you make this conference worthwhile and an opportunity?
Yeah. Well, the two things. Regardless of what we're working on institutionally that I want to talk about, like Project Diamond we talked about, the beauty of being on Mackinac Island with everybody else is you get to build relationships with people that can help you advance your mission. You know, we are a nonprofit, so we're mission-based. So I'm always trying to tell my story and listen to others and the stories they're telling and see, where are the intersections? I think if there's one criticism I have of economic development, and I saw this as I was a young person coming up in my career, I couldn't understand how much we fought over each other's turf.
Yeah.
And you see a new generation, I hope I'm a part of this generation, that is coming in, and they're so collaborative. And we don't view it as turf. We view it as, hey, are you advancing Michigan? Am I advancing Michigan? Then let's figure out how we do this together. And every leader that I've come across that is new in their role is totally collaborative. And I'm seeing less and less. So I take great hope and solace in what I'm seeing.
Do you think that lasts beyond this week, beyond Mackinac? Do you see that playing out in our region more often now than you used to?
I do. We can go back to leadership of old, you know, where you had Brooks fighting with Coleman Young and it was a knockdown drag out and everybody's blaming everybody for everything. Now you see, you know, Oakland County and Macomb County and Detroit and Wayne. There's a civility there. There's a real desire to all work together. Now, not always. I know they got their problems, but I see that all over. And maybe your listeners don't see that all the time. But I really see that when I talk with new leaders, they are almost always willing to collaborate. And there's less talk of, that's my turf, you stay out of it.
Wow. It's a powerful statement to make about our community.
I hope it's true, because I see it, but I'm a little fish in a big pond. So
there's a lot of, I think, a sense that if somebody else is winning, then I must be losing kind of mentality that takes place here. And there are a lot of reasons for that, many of them quite legitimate. But cutting off our nose to spite our face. And it sounds to me like you're hearing something really different. And I guess that's encouraging to me.
Well, and I think we suffer from a lack of creativity. Because we're not high-tech enough in Michigan, we don't – high-tech out in Silicon Valley or anywhere else views like, well, I don't care – you're not a competitor. Even if you are a competitor, you're not a competitor because we can both grow the pie. We tend to view in Michigan, or at least in the old days, that there was a static pie and however you divided it, it was a win-lose. We have to get with AI, with 3D printing, with what I talked about, the pie can get much bigger for Michigan, especially as China is maturing and steadying out and you're going to see a lot of production come back. We're poised to really grow our manufacturing back in Michigan. I know it sounds crazy to say because we've all lived through what it was. We're actually ready to grow again, and we have to say, let's all make the pie bigger and stop fighting.
Okay, Tom Kelly, Executive Director and CEO of Automation Alley. Great to catch up with you. And on with what's going on at Automation Alley here on Mackinac Island. Thanks for coming by.
Thanks, Steven.
That's going to do it for us today. I'll be back tomorrow. I hope you will, too. This is 101.9 WDET-FM, Detroit's NPR station. Your connection to news, music, and conversation.